Revelation chapter 16. I know some people are skeptical in regards to the rapture, if the rapture is even going to happen in their lifetime, because it hasn't happened so far. And a lot of Christians, a lot of born-again believers have died and have been gone to be with the Lord, and we're still here, and you know, we hear about the rapture, and some people don't. Okay, rapture's going to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. Are you sure about that? Because we are living in unprecedented days. We're living in a time like none other. Jesus said that in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah. Not quite sure what all they were doing, but it was pretty wicked because God says because of the wickedness of the imagination of the heart continually, he was going to destroy mankind. And he did with the flood. He destroyed mankind. But how wicked and sinful do you think this world's going to get before the rapture takes place, before the Antichrist is revealed? I mean, what's the purpose of the thief that Jesus talks about? To steal, kill, destroy. What is the devil's purpose? He wants to get rid of all living beings. He wants to get rid of all human beings. What happened before Noah's flood? What did the fallen angels do before the flood? Before they were, you know, put into the prison of darkness and held in chains until the judgment. What did the fallen angels do? The Bible says the sons of God came into the daughters of men. And therefore, because of that, you had giants that were born. Not giants like Shaquille O'Neal or anybody like that, but giants that, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet tall, six fingers, six toes. I mean, the Bible describes these giants, all right? The angels, the fallen angels, the wicked angels that followed Lucifer in their rebellion, intermingled, if I can use that word, intermingled with human beings and strange flesh as well, animals as well, bestiality. Bible talks about that. I mean, very wicked in those days. Well, guess what they're doing now? Well, they're telling little boys, you can be a little girl. Let's just, you know, let's change your gender. Let's do an operation and change your anatomy, and let's just, you know, go against what God's created. All right, so you got, you know, that mindset in the world, all right, and they say, you know, my body, my choice, you know, we can do whatever we want. That's fine, all right. When they stand before God, they will be the gender God created them to be, all right. Someone who claims to be a woman but truly is a man, when they stand before God, they will stand before God as they were born as a man, all right? So you can't undo what God has ordained, all right? But some things I want to bring to our attention, because didn't we talk about already one of the trumpets, one of the results of the, one of the trumpets? I forget, let's see. Yeah, I got it. Let's see, I can't see it. Anyway, one of the trumpets speaks about a third of the trees being burnt up. And we went over the trumpets, and we were talking about, you know, a third of the trees and all the grass being burnt up and stuff, right? And, you know, I believe that that's going to be like a nuclear war. World War III is just, it's on the horizon. It's here. It is going to happen at some point. All right, in the very near future, all right, but, you know, when that happens, all right, the Bible talks about a third of the trees being burned up as well as all the grass. What's interesting, though, is when you get into these vials, and, I mean, at some point, we're going to go through these vials, okay, but I keep finding all this information, and it just, you know, it just points to everything the Bible talks about, but you think about everything that takes place All right, so we could explain away, let's say, the third of the trees being, you know, destroyed in grass. Okay, nuclear war. You could, you know, say, well, your nuclear war happened and it totally just devastated an area and all that, because we know what, you know, nuclear war will do. We know what an atomic bomb can do to an area and all of that. So, you know, we would dismiss it away by, you know, yeah, that destruction was because of the nuclear weapons. But when you get to the vials which are labeled as the wrath of God, do you realize that when God starts having his wrath poured out through these vials, nobody repents? Nobody seeks God who is under this wrath? When you get to, I think it's the fourth vial, and men is scorched by the sun. I mean, they are being burned by the sun like none other. They don't repent before God. They start cursing God's name. So what happens when you can explain it, not a big deal, but then you get to a place where you can't explain it, you just start cursing God. Instead of repenting and turning to God and asking for help and for mercy. Because there is a point where someone who is not going to believe and change, okay, God has that line drawn in the sand that they finally step over and says, that's it. And what is that? It's the mark of the beast. We've already looked at that, where God says anyone that takes the mark of the beast and worships the image, worships the beast, they're doomed. They cannot be saved. Now, have you heard just recently they came out with a new COVID vaccine? Because COVID's starting to ramp up again because we're going into the fall season. But they have come up with a new COVID vaccine that has not been tested except on a mouse. You can look this up. And guess what? They say everybody has to take it. It doesn't matter if you got the last vaccine. Doesn't matter if you got all the boosters. They say, you have to take this one. Well, I thought when you got a vaccine, that was good. But no, now they're saying it doesn't matter if you had the vaccine. If you had all the boosters, you have to take this one. Remember what I showed you last week about Bill Gates and what he had commented back years ago? Depopulation through forced vaccine. Because he's a globalist. His agenda is to depopulate the earth. All right? Children have died from the vaccines. Women have miscarried their babies after being vaccinated. All these things. All right? Again, who wants to still kill and destroy? The devil, we know that. But who also doesn't want us to be aware of what's happening? Doesn't want us to connect the dots. Doesn't want us to look at the Bible, look at, I guess, world events through the lens of the Bible. Guess who doesn't want us to do that? The devil. Guess who wants God's people just to, you know, sit in darkness and you know, all this is just, you know, this isn't part of Revelation. This isn't part of, you know, what's going on. Now, again, the Antichrist hasn't been revealed. The mark of the beast has not been instilled. We don't have a one world government or anything like that yet, but it's going that way because, listen, every nation in this world, on this world, wants a one world government. Not the people, but the leaders. Again, we talked about the trees, all right? November, I want to read you an article, and this comes from naturalnews.com. You want some good biblical truth news? Go to naturalnews.com, or you can go to winepressnews.com. Don't believe ABC, NBC, all these mega media news stations. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're all part of the problem, all right, and all part of the agenda of the devil. Now, in September 5th, 2023, listen, Bill Gates bankrolling destruction of all trees to stop global warming. This is the headline. They interviewed Bill Gates, and he wants to destroy all the trees in an effort to stop global warming. Now, in order to stop the planet from melting into a puddle of overly warmed goo, billionaire Bill Gates wants to chop down all trees and bury them in the ground. Listen, you might think that's far-fetched, but Bill Gates, remember, he is the number one financial donor to the World Health Organization, to NATO, and all the globalists, okay? He is the one that is behind even the vaccines and all that. Now, over the next decade, I don't know how you pronounce this, but Kodama Systems, a company that recently received a $6.6 million injection in seed funding from Gates' Breakthrough Energy Scheme, plans to raze at least 70 million acres of western forest to prevent climate change. And it goes on to talk about that this is going to be done in California. All right. Most of the trees slated for removal in California. All right. Where Kodama plans to axe them to death and, listen, bury them under the ground in order to prevent their carbon from spewing back into the atmosphere. That sounds just ridiculous, right? But can I ask a question? When this came out, how many of us remember the tree huggers? Save the trees! Kill the men who are cutting them down, right? They would put spikes in the trees, and the guy would come with his chainsaw to cut down, and it would cut the chain, and it would come back around. And where are all those guys? I mean, here's Bill Gates saying he wants to destroy all the trees. And he's going to start in California. We're going to cut them down. Where's all the environmentalists with that, right? Okay, what's the big deal? Well, have you ever heard the term ecosystem? You need the trees. You need the plants to keep our ecosystem going, because what do trees and plants take in besides sunlight? Carbon dioxide, right? What we breathe out, they take in, and then they produce oxygen. So if he does what he wants to do, well, I mean, you're going to destroy the ecosystem, right? But that's the devil's plan from the beginning. Destroy what God created. Destroy what God created. All right? So again, I mean, when you hear things, I mean, in the news and stuff, I mean, just don't dismiss it. Think about it. Think about what the Bible says, because carbon is the basis of all life on earth. But Bill Gates wants to destroy it because he is a child of the devil. All the globalists are on the payroll of the devil, all right? Now, I don't have a board or anything, but anyway, this is what you got to keep in mind, all right? How do you know where you are on God's timeline? Because, you know, there is a timeline. It's not just, okay, you know what, I was born. Wow, that's great. That was an accident. I just happened to be here. No, you're here for a reason. All right, but how many of us understand that life as we know it's not going to last forever? This world isn't going to last forever. But where are we on the timeline? Oh, Pastor, right there, we're in the church age. Okay, where in the church age? Are we here at the beginning? Are we in the middle? Are we towards the end? We're towards the end. How close to that? How close to the rapture? Because, you know, after the rapture is the 7-year tribulation that we've been looking at in the Bible, all right? And when you look at Scripture and you read Scripture, we know that it's going to happen. We know that you can. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we can, through Scripture, figure out the season. The season. All right, which points to what is going to take place. A lot of things happening. God, again, God's already started revealing things. All right, we kind of looked at, you know, we looked at what happened back in September of 2017 up in the stars with, you know, the constellation Virgo and the constellation of Leo and the other three planets all lined up to show, you know, the woman with the moon at her feet, the sun, and all of that. And it was Jupiter going into the womb of that constellation Virgo for 9 months and then coming out after 9 months, which is what it talks about here in chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I mean, it is talking about, all right, it's talking about Israel, but God uses the stars. The Jews require a sign. How did the wise man know that the King of Kings had been born? A star. And they followed that star. The star led them to where Christ was in Bethlehem. So God uses the constellations. He's the one that created them, all right? Now, we're not supposed to look to the stars for a horoscope. That's wicked. That's devilish. But God created the stars, and he gives his people, the Jews, signs in those stars to let them know when something is about to take place, when God is about to do something wonderful. Because again, when you think about the wise men, they saw the star 2 years before Jesus was born. Because when they finally get there, well, Jesus isn't in the manger. He's sitting on his mother's lap in the house, and Herod wants to kill every baby that's 2 years old and younger, all right? So it took them a while to get there, right? But again, understand, God is going to destroy this planet. He's going to burn it up. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, all right? So again, as God's people, as Bible believers, I think we need to really pay attention to God's word and what's going on in the world more now, so that we're not caught off guard, so that we are not, you know, sitting there, you know, doing something we shouldn't be doing, not doing something we should be doing, being somewhere we shouldn't be, and the rapture takes place. And when you get to chapter 16, and we did the first three vials. We talked about the noisome destructive boil there for the first vial, and how that's a result of everyone that takes the mark of the beast in their hand, their forehead. All right, and we look at verse 3 of the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, right? And the waters turned to blood, the seas turned to blood. The third vial in verse 4 through 7, the rivers turned to blood as well as the fountains of waters, all the springs, all right? And God's pouring out his judgment. We kind of even have this up there so we can see how it kind of, you know, is almost identical to the seven trumpets and the ten plagues that God poured out there in Egypt. You get to verse 8 and 9. This is what we're at this morning, verses 8 and 9, the fourth vial. All right, and the vial is spelled V-I-A-L, right? What's another way you can spell vial? Huh? V-I-L-E, vial. Because what's coming out of those vials is vial. All right, so verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. I'm sorry, verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. You remember those creatures that came out of the bottomless pit that looked like scorpions with long hairs and all that, and they were given the power to torment men 5 months? And men would seek death, but death would escape them. They could not die, though they were being tormented. Well, now they're being tormented with fire. Fire from the sun, all right, poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. Because they're past, there's no return for them. They're past the point of being saved because they've taken the mark of the beast. Their conscience is seared. They have no conscience toward God. Therefore, they just blaspheme the creator of the sun. right? And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So you think, you know, again, when you read things in Revelation, Hollywood has done a great job in convincing people that that's not real. That's just Hollywood. Because, right, if you watch movies and you see movies coming out of Hollywood, you know, you're like, oh, okay, that's all fake. You know, that's just actors. But you realize a lot of things that come out of Hollywood, they're actually, they're filming, actors and stuff, but a lot of things that they are portraying, it's actually going to happen. It is really. Again, there are so many people that are just obsessed with death and zombies. Death and zombies. They're just fascinated with it. I mean, they wear the skull bones and all these things that just depict death. They're so fascinated with it. But here God says, the Bible says that when God allows this fourth angel to have power over the sun, he scorches men. Yeah, they may look like zombies when God's done with them. But how's he going to do that? How's he going to do that? You realize right now there's something going on with our sun. There is things that are called, events are called solar flares. Solar flares that come off the sun. There's just some things happening with the sun. These are what's called solar flares. And I forget the name of the telescope, but NASA has a telescope. I don't know if it's in the description down there. But it's captured by NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory. And they've been observing all these solar flares and explosions and stuff on the sun. You realize that more recently, there's been more blackouts and stuff in different places. They're actually predicting this winter some major blackouts across our country because of these events. Because as these solar flares erupt, or as there's eruptions on the sun, these solar flares come off, they cannot penetrate the atmosphere to burn people, but it interacts with our radio towers and signals and things like that. It disrupts, all right, the wavelengths and things, and they're predicting that come this winter, there's going to be some major blackouts across the country, really around the world as well, all right? But when the Bible talks about the sun, I mean, again, just events like these that are happening, again, it points to what's coming. It points to what God is getting prepared to do, okay? Again, that's why I say none of this takes place until after the rapture. But we can see things happening that, you know what? It's getting close. The sun is getting ready to do what God's going to have it do with the angel who has the power over the sun, all right? And this is just kind of a video of what they have seen and just how, the eruptions, the solar flares, all that energy. And remember, I told you, let's see if I have it down here. One solar flare is equivalent to 1 billion hydrogen bombs. So just the power. I mean, someone might think, well, that's just far-fetched, is it? Isn't God powerful? Doesn't God create powerful things? Right? I mean, to see God's power. And notice, again, in Revelation, it says, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, right now, this energy cannot penetrate our atmosphere. That means at some point the atmosphere is going to be gone. At some point the atmosphere is going to be gone. Now look, if you would, at verse 10 and 11. All right, verse 10 and 11, the fifth vial. I mean, these are all God's judgment, his wrath, the final plagues that God pours out upon this earth. Man is destroying the earth right now. Man wants to destroy the earth, but God's going to be the one that completely destroys it. Because you know what? just like sin, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but then after that, what does the Bible say? Death. Think of somebody, you know, who just playing around, you know, smoking just a little joint, smoking, you know, just some marijuana, big deal, you know, just having a party with friends. That person can get caught up and needing, you know what, I need something stronger. And they just go to the next drug, the next drug, the next drug, until, you know what, they're at the end of their life. I mean, the drugs, the methane, the cocaine, all that has totally ruined their body, and they end up dead because they take, you know, a needle and inject it, and they end up dying because of an overdose. We know that's what sin does. Well, guess what God does for people who reject him and they want everything that's not God? God will give it to them. God will give it to them to the fullest. Because when you look at the fifth vial, look at verse 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial, listen, upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. Well, the devil's kingdom is already darkness. But God pours out a darkness upon his kingdom, upon the kingdom of the beast. Notice what it says, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. This is a darkness that has never been felt before. You understand darkness? The Bible talks about people not coming to the light because their deeds are evil. They love darkness. People love just the dark side. So guess what God does? Oh, you like the dark side? Here, have it to the fullest. And they have the darkness to the fullest that they're gnawing themselves for pain. They cannot see. You and I, we can't imagine that. But the Bible says there's so much darkness that God pours out upon the beast and his kingdom, everyone that's a part of his kingdom, that it's a darkness that drives them mad to the point they're gnawing on themselves. You ever bit your finger when you're eating, not paying attention? Ow. Or, you know, you've been feeding one of your kids and they bite down, right? Can you imagine, though, you personally being in so much torment under this darkness that you can't see anything, this you're being driven mad, so you start gnawing on yourself. But guess what? It comes after the boils. It comes after the first vial where, you know what, those who have taken the mark, whatever it is, starts destroying the physical body, and now they're starting to gnaw on themselves because of this darkness. Listen, right now people think, oh man, it's great, it's fun, you know, to be part of, you know, the occult and to do witchcraft. I told you, I mean, I know of Christians who grew up going to Bible-believing churches that their favorite movies and their favorite book series is Harry Potter. There are some Christians who are even involved in Ouija boards and witchcraft and sorcery. And some, oh, all that stuff's fake. Is it? No, it's not. If it was, then back in the Old Testament, God would not have said, suffer a witch not to live. Someone is a witch, someone's in sorcery, someone's a soothsayer, kill them. Because they're of the devil. Now, praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we see God's grace where Paul, he delivers a woman who is a soothsayer. Her masters are gaining much wealth off of her witchcraft, off her fortune telling and all of that. But Paul delivers her, rebukes the demon out of her. She becomes born again because it's the age of grace. God's not willing that any should perish. But in the Old Testament, they were not to even suffer a witch to live. Where did King Saul, who did King Saul seek after when God stopped talking to him? He sought after a witch, the witch of Endor. And when he disguises himself so she doesn't recognize him at first being, you know, King Saul, you know, he tells his men, you know, find me a witch. Well, there just happens to be this witch at Endor, right? And she, and you know, she is shocked when Samuel comes up, because he comes to her, King Saul comes to her and wants, you know, I want you to call up who I tell you to call up. And, you know, she does her little seance or whatever, and here comes Samuel, and you read in the Bible, she freaks out. She screams because she's, it's Samuel. She goes, you're King Saul, right? So what I'm saying is, listen, as a child of God, as a child of light, none of us who have the Spirit of God in us should be involved in any type of witchcraft. I don't care if it's just reading books, watching movies. That's all devilish, all right? There's a lot of young people that are involved in it. Excuse me. The fifth vial, God pours out exactly what they want. And guess what? People realize, have you ever realized when you got what you wanted, it's not what you really wanted? You realize, oh, you know what? I probably was better off without this. I don't know if you've ever experienced that with anything in life. Oh, I gotta have it. And then you get it, and it's like, that's not what I really wanted. This is actually causing me some grief here. This is causing me some, you know, difficulties in my life. But God pours out the worst darkness upon the beast and his kingdom, and the Bible says they gnawed their tongues for pain. They gnawed their tongues for pain. Did God pour out darkness upon Egypt? He sure did. He sure did. Now look at verses 12 through 16. Excuse me. Verses 12 through 16. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And that is speaking about the battle of Armageddon that happens at the end of the seven-year tribulation. All right, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There is your demonic trinity. Again, the devil always, he's trying to imitate God. So he's got his demonic trinity, right? But there are three unclean spirits, right? There are three unclean spirits. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouths of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they, those three, are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Remember, the Revelation is four retellings of the same events. Four retellings of the same events, which is, it's kind of interesting. What are the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are those? Four tellings of the same events, right? Four tellings of the same events. Let me look here. I didn't write this down, but... But when you look at the map up there, you see the river Euphrates, all right, how the river Euphrates goes practically down where Kuwait is. It goes all the way up through Iraq, through Syria, up to Turkey, and so forth, all right? So that whole area, that whole river is going to be dried up, all right? So then you look right here. Here's Israel way over here. Euphrates River is way over here, but it's going to dry up. So all the kings of the east have a way to come over to Israel. Well, why does the river need to dry up? I mean, they can just fly their drones. They can just fly their warplanes and all that. What does the river need to dry up? Well, what are the events taking place before this river is completely dried up? There are some events in the heavens taking place. I mean, again, one of the trumpets, you have nuclear war, so guess what? You have nuclear war, so you know, machineries are being blown up and stuff. But then when God causes the sun, when he causes this great event with the sun to come, all right, with the solar flares and all that energy, and totally knocks out the power grids, knocks out airplane towers, signals. You're not going to be able to fly anything that has technology. You're not going to be able to drive anything that has technology in it. Understand? So even when we get to the Battle of Armageddon, we'll see where, you know what, even before this, what does Revelation talk about when Jesus comes and destroys the enemies at Armageddon? The blood is as deep as the horse bridle. They're not able to drive their tanks, to fly their warplanes at the time of Armageddon. They have to come on horseback. They have to come on foot. That's why the Euphrates River is going to be dried up. And if you even pay any attention to the news now, it's drying up and has been drying up for a while. And, you know, people understand in the Middle East, it signifies something. All right, here in America, we're, I say we, just not we in here, but the American people have blinders on their eyes. They just believe what the government says. They believe what Hollywood says. You know, everything's hunky-dory. You know, the Middle East has nothing to do with me. Therefore, I mean, they don't pay attention. Again, as God's people, we should be paying attention to these things. I mean, the Bible talks about the Euphrates River being dried up here at this sixth vial, and we're hearing that it is drying up. So guess what? We know that these events are getting closer. The rapture is getting closer because the rapture takes place before these vials, before the trumpets, before the vials are poured out. All right, if we're seeing and hearing these events, all right, it should cause us to look towards heaven and to be watching for the return of Christ and preparing for his return. Again, verse 13 and 14 just speak about the satanic trinity, all right, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. These are seducing spirits. For time's sake, I won't go there. But look at verse 15, all right? Verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. All right, that's the Battle of Armageddon, all right? Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together..." The kings of the east, he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. All right? God's the one that does it. Yes, it says these unclean spirits went out working miracles to gather the kings from the east, but God's the one that does it because God's the one that dries up the Euphrates River. Because God is getting all his enemies in one place so he can destroy them. So he can destroy them. He can pass the final judgment upon them. Look at verse 17 through 21. All right, 17 through 21. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.'" Remember, these seven angels come out of the temple. The glory of God fills the temple in heaven, and no one is allowed back into the temple. So this voice that comes out of the temple is the Lord. It's Jesus Christ, and he says, "It is done." What did Jesus say on the cross of Calvary before he gave up the ghost? "It is finished," meaning what it was accomplished. He accomplished the Father's will. The sins of man had been paid for. His blood was the payment, right? It was finished. He says, "It is finished." There's nothing else anyone has to do for salvation. You can't work for it. You can't pay money for it. You can't pray, you know, continue praying for it. You can't do anything. It is finished. But you still have a religious system today, the Roman Catholic Church, that's all about works. And they're all about drinking blood. Do you know they drink blood? Because when they take the Mass and they take that cup, they say it is the blood. They say it, when you take it and you drink it, it turns into the blood of Jesus. When you take that little wafer, they say when you take it and you eat it, it turns into the literal body of Jesus. That's demonic. We would say, man, that's so silly, but it's demonic. All right? It's demonic. But here Jesus, crying out from the temple in heaven, says, it is done. It's it. It's finished. The final judgment. It's finished. It's done. And there was voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of nations fell. The great city speaks of Jerusalem. Jerusalem being split in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Remember, I looked that up, and somewhere between 8 and 125 pounds. I mean, depending on who you're looking at, that, you know, about the talent, who interprets the talent. You know, again, people interpret in different weights and stuff, but okay, 8 pounds. You go with the. Have you ever dropped something on your foot that was 8 pounds? Or even, you know, 2 pounds. It hurts. Hurts like the dickens, doesn't it? So can you imagine 8-pound hell balls coming down from heaven? I think people are going to be running for the hills and crying out for God to let the rocks and mountains fall on them, because, you know what? They're feeling the wrath of God. What they thought they wanted, they realize it's not what they want, but it's too late for them. It's too late. Because God is a righteous judge, and God has given people 2,000 years. We're coming to the end of 2,000 years of the church age, of the age of grace, 2,000 years for people to get saved, to follow the Lord, to trust Jesus Christ. And after that, you know what? You gotta work to be saved. After that, don't take fear of God, don't take the mark of the beast, and endure till the end. But not everyone's going to endure to the end that are in the tribulation, who are fearing God and believing the gospel message that the angel is preaching, because the Bible talks about heads being chopped off. Heads being chopped off. You and I, and anyone that's going to get saved, we're in a good time to be saved, because it's just faith. It's just faith. Faith in what Jesus Christ did. But in the tribulation, it's going to be more difficult for people. More difficult, because they will have to lay down their life for their faith. They will literally have to be killed by not taking the mark of the beast. Begin these great hell, this great hell, these earthquakes. Jerusalem split into three parts. The islands disappear, mountains collapse and rubble. All these things that are happening. I want to see if I can bring this up real quick. Here we go. So, you see the Jezreel Valley right here? That is also called the Valley of Megiddo. Here's the town or city of Megiddo right here, but all this right in here is also called the Valley of Megiddo, which is where Armageddon takes place. That's where Armageddon takes place. The armies coming from the east are going to come down here, because Israel's down here, and they're going to come down here, set up camp here to invade Israel. But they're coming right into where God wants them to be. And God will destroy them. Israel's not going to have to fight. Their Messiah fights for them. So, I mean, when you read all these things in the Bible, I mean, again, some things are kind of like, you know, that sounds so, you know, fictitious. That sounds like Hollywood. But you know what? That's God. Again, the devil wants people to be blinded to the truth. The devil even wants Christians who are in Bible-believing churches, I'll even say this, Bible-preaching churches, to just think, you know, that's not going to happen in my lifetime. That's so far-fetched. But when you start hearing of things that are happening and what men want to do in this world, it's like, you know what? It sounds like it's around the corner. It sounds like, you know what? The rapture could take place this year or next year. Because man is just advancing the one world agenda. Because with the ramp up of COVID and all of that, guess what the government is going to start pushing again? The vaccine passport. You know, you got to have something to prove that you have that vaccine. Again, it's the vaccine's not the mark, all right? That's not the mark, but it's just setting people up to, you know, that's not the mark of the beast. So guess what? Those people they will easily receive whatever it is, whatever the mark is, you know, because I got to buy food and I got to, you know, I need health care and I got to buy my medications and stuff like that. All right, I told you about the lady in Canada who was denied a transplant. An organ transplant because she did not get the vaccine. What happened to my body and my choice? Well, that only applies to those who want to kill unborn babies. Do you realize? I saw this news article on naturalnews.com that they are going to sign into law, and I think it might already be in law. I think this is in California, where they are signing into law that a woman can kill her baby 28 days after birth. 28 days after you're holding your baby, you decide you don't want it, and you just kill it. So where are we at on God's timeline? I think we're right there. Because the wickedness, the imagination of man is just wicked continual. It's all about killing babies, killing children. Why? Because children are a heritage of the Lord. God's the one that gave life. God's the one that breathed life into man, and that's what the devil wants to destroy. You know, I would not be so quick to accept all the AI garbage. I call it garbage, I mean, because it's not of God. Is it the founder of Google? Some higher up of Google made the statement with AI that we are creating God through AI. Well, what does the Bible say? They became their own gods. You reject the true God and you become your own God. So, I mean, when you see and hear all these things that are happening, it's just like, wow. Wow. One more article here. This is about the solar flares and the storms. I'm going to keep bringing you guys articles and stuff so you can just, because none of this is on the main, you're not going to see this on NBC, ABC, you know, all those. Again, this was back in August of this year. Are you ready when the lights go out? Rare solar storm could fry power grids, warns British physicist. Matthew Owens, a British physicist, how do you say that? Help me out. My tongue, all right? Anyway, Matthew Owens, a British scientist and professor of space physics at the University of Reading, has warned that a once-in-century solar storm could fry power grids and knock out satellites. Yet, what happens if satellites, all those, are knocked out? You can't fly planes. You can't drive cars. I mean, everything that is technology is going to be rendered inoperable. All right? The sun's activity is currently growing, and scientists are particularly concerned about the ongoing solar cycle. It is already more active than the previous cycle, which means the sun could become more active than it has been in the past two decades. You understand? Our solar system, it's active, it's alive, it goes through motions, it goes through cycles. In fact, as I'm reading this, I'm remembering, I just saw as well that NASA's telescope, they just witnessed, because they filmed stuff, they just witnessed that a chunk of, I don't know how big the chunk was, but there was a chunk of the sun that just fell off. So again, is global warming real? According to God, yes. According to man, you know, according to what man wants people to think, all right, let's be in control of the earth and let's bury all the trees so there's no more carbon and, you know, let's do this. Again, it's the devil wants to destroy what God's created, all right? With that being said, I mean, again, the rest of the article, it just goes on to talk about, you know, solar flares and stuff like that. But I'm going to leave you with this thought as well. The devil wants to destroy this earth, all right? And when you hear about, you know, what man wants to do, you know, you want to destroy the ecosystem and all of that and just all the things that are going to happen, I wonder. Now, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the world being void and empty. Whereas God doesn't create things that are void and empty. I wonder if something happened back then and God had to destroy the planet and start over. Not saying Adam's the first human. I'm not saying, you know, a plant that was in populated with humans before. But when did the devil and his angels fall? Where did they inhabit when God created them? And they were singing and giving God glory. Why is the devil so bent on destroying this planet and destroying humans? I mean, I know he knows his time is short. He knows where his place is at, but he's so bent because he said, I will be like the Most High. He can't create people. But guess what he can do? He can help humans create AI robots. You realize they're putting this synthetic skin on these AI robots that are just like human skin. And they have created some. How many of you remember the movie The Terminator? Back in the 80s, The Terminator. You couldn't destroy them. You remember some of, you know, I'm not trying to put images in your mind, but you couldn't destroy the Terminator. He was able to regrow the skin and fix himself, all right? They actually have AI robots that they are doing that with where they're indestructible. It can repair itself. But do you realize there are people that are warning, that are into the AI robots and stuff, they're warning that this is not good. We're going down a very bad path with creating these things, because guess what they would want to do? The AI robots are, you know, I want to say very intelligent, but they're not going to be like a human who has feelings. They are going to be just like the devil. No feelings whatsoever for you or anybody else. You stand in their way of their advancement, just kill you. And what happens if you kill all humans on the planet? You're left with exactly what the devil wants, right? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but when you think about just the advancement of technology and you just see. I mean, if you really look through the world through the lens of God's word, you just see the wickedness. And the fact this world is not our home and we shouldn't be planting our roots here. We should actually, like I said earlier, how many of us are looking for the rapture? And again, that's all we've ever heard. The rapture. And the Bible says that in the last days, there'll be scoffers that say, where are the promise of his coming? Those aren't lost people. The lost people aren't looking for his coming. It's God's people that are looking for his coming, and it hasn't happened. So it's Christians that say, where's the promise of his coming? Are you ready? So I would pray. Father, we do thank you for just your goodness, and we thank you, Father, for revealing things to us. Lord, secret things belong unto you, but the things you have revealed belong unto us, and we ought to be more students of the word. And I confess, Lord, that in this time of my life, I am starting to really look at things a lot more closely and comparing scripture with things that are happening in the world. And Father, again, we know that the rapture takes place, the Antichrist is revealed, but still, Lord, we see. You told us we would know the season, not the hour, not the day, but we would know the season. And Lord, I think we're in that season, just as the imagination of man's heart is wicked continually, and just even the advancement of just now just killing babies that are 28 days out of the womb, perfectly healthy, nothing wrong. But that's what the devil wants. And Lord, you give the wickedness in those last days. You give them the fullness of the cup of your wrath and the cup of blood that they so desire now. But Lord, would you help us as God's people, as born-again believers, Lord, to truly evaluate our life and evaluate, you know, just our walk of faith with you. Lord, that we would be more aware, more conscious of what you're doing in our life, and help us, Lord, to be prepared for that last trump to sound, Lord, when we meet the Lord in the air. Father, would you continue to guide and direct? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.